Well, I'd like to continue with last week's teaching. And some of you again came up and how it spoke to you, spoke into your lives. And that's what's so wonderful. And God will always confirm your life, your circumstances, your stand, your walk with Jesus. And that is what teaching is about. That is how God teaches you. Week after week, simply confirming to you your experiences that you have with God. But what we're talking about is we must surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading. That is what we're talking about. We must surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading. And all your years that you have been walking with God, right up until now, today, this very moment, is that God is working with you, with the church, that we may surrender to the Holy Spirit's teaching, his leading. And it takes many years for him to do that. And we based this teaching, didn't we, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16, which again I'm just going to read again to reiterate, just to get back into what we were looking at last week, where the Apostle Paul comes to Corinth. He says this: "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So we have to receive the Spirit. And that is why the spirits have to be discerned and tested. But it takes the Holy Spirit to give you that wisdom that comes from above. "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, but which comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So there it is. That is how God teaches us. He teaches us to compare spiritual with spiritual. That is why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. I keep stressing this to you. Your warfare is not carnal. It is not flesh. You have been given the Holy Spirit. You have been given God's wisdom to compare, to weigh, to discern, to test spiritual things. We must do this in this last day. That is what is going to characterize the overcoming army of God. And that is why we must surrender to the Spirit's leading and teaching for that very purpose. I really stress this. Why? Because in verse 13, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So he cannot know. Sometimes you may be speaking. You may be speaking under the anointing. And some may not know, they may not understand, they have not heard a word you have said. Now, are you going to let that affect you? Are you going to become offended? Or are you going to just leave it with God? That some see it, some don't. And all we're talking about is those who have been eternally called from the foundation of the world. Paul didn't argue with that. He didn't try and justify that. He saw his calling, he saw his ministry, and he saw that through this teaching, through the revelation that God was giving to this man, that some will hear and some will not. And he rested in that. I wish evangelism could. I wish churches could teach this, but I suspect that there many of them, sadly, are offended by what I'm saying here. And why? Because sadly, many in churches can't hear the wisdom of God. And it brings me to the conclusion that there are many who are not eternally saved. And that is the tragedy. Many who call themselves Christians, many who call themselves Jews, are in fact not. And that is what we're dealing with. And it says they can't know them. Why? Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. You discern, you test all things. That is it. This is it in the last days. This is why it's hid from some. And if you find yourself spiritually discerning, hearing the shepherd's voice that is calling you to go deeper with him, praise God, they are signs you have been called from the foundation of the world. And that is why it's by grace. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So you are judging, you are discerning, but woe to those who judge you. For they are judging what is in you. God, the Holy Spirit. See? Yet you are called to judge righteously in that sense. It is a righteous judgment because you are judging truth. That which is truth and that which is a lie. That which is a lie is from the powers of darkness, Satan himself, who is a liar. That is why most in the world, that which you hear, its basis comes out of lies. That's why we have a judicial system. We have courts. It's there for that purpose. Because man lies. He's born a liar. I'm sorry, but your children lie. And you know it as parents. Where do they get that from? Yes, they can learn it, but it's naturally there. They tune into it. They tune into lies. They tune into deception. Rebellion. Because that's the spirit they are of. But we are not of that spirit, Paul says. You are of another spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is teaching you, guiding you, leading you, speaking to you. That's what this is all about. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God isn't about to let anyone instruct you willy-nilly. No. It must be the Holy Spirit, ultimately, who is the one who must teach you. Why? Because as I spoke last week, he is the paraclete or the paracletos, the one who moves alongside. And I said last week, he's not one that moves alongside to possess you, to control you. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. He's moved alongside to comfort you, to encourage you, to nudge you, to move you in the right direction, to show you where the truth is. Why? Because it's all about free will. Your choice, your deciding. Every decision, every revelation, every blessing, every move of God, you have a choice that is involved. You have a choice today whether you wanted to come to church or not. Decisions, things that you've made last week, the Holy Spirit moved you. He comforted you. He moved alongside and brought you each day into making those decisions. Right decisions. Through the working of the Holy Spirit. He's not a spirit that comes to possess you. Control you in that sense. Not like demons do. That's how Satan works. That's why it says he works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. In other words, it reads in the Greek, he's working in you. That's what it means, you see. So that is his nature. So that's what we've been looking at. Now, where we left off last week, I began to show you from 1 John 2 and the Gospel of John 16, where Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit coming to anoint, to teach. You have the anointing. You need nobody else. What does it mean that you have the anointing? Well, you have to get that onion and peel a few layers. And remember, in peeling an onion, you cry. So what does it mean, the anointing? Well, I have met some people, don't tell me, I have the anointing. That's what Jesus said. So you don't need to tell me. Oh, I've had people arrogantly say that. Are they right? Do we have the anointing? Yes, we do. You're baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing. So what was Jesus meaning that he was sent, give us the anointing to teach us? It means that he will present, he will give into the church anointed vessels. So, in a sense, there's a plurality of anointings, which comes from the anointing. You could take it in another term. There are gifts. God sets gifts into the church. Now, if it's a true gift, you discern that gift by its anointing. Amen? So there are, in a sense, plurality of anointings that come from the anointing. And so he sets the gift and gifts of teaching, preaching, pastoring, the fivefold ministries, and they have been anointed to teach you. So what they have received is from God. It's not of their own making. It's not something that they decided to work for, like the world does and the religious system. That's why you have theological colleges, that they go and work and train to become a minister. You train to become a counselor or all this sort of thing, so that at the end of it, when you've got your qualifications, you have received the anointing. That's bondage. God is the one who anoints. And so if you know, and how do you know? Because the anointing that's upon you and in you discerns, tests the spirits. And so you find that is the anointed vessel. That is where I am going to receive anointed teaching. And that is what Jesus simply meant by you have no need that man should teach you, for the Holy Spirit will come, the Comforter will come, you will receive that anointing, the anointing will teach you. And that is simply what it means. So anybody's coming along to you and says, I don't need to hear that, I don't need to be told, I'm anointed. And that anointing God's placed on me is teaching me. Well, I wish it was as easy as that, but it's not. Yes, the anointing that you have is teaching you, but what is teaching you has also to be tested and confirmed. And so what you may receive, or what God is saying to you, will be confirmed through other anointed vessels that God places into the local assembly. And that is the way we can discern, we can test the spirits, which we are to do. I have always taught you. I have taught you ever since God has called me behind this pulpit. I have taught you to test, to try, to discern everything you hear. Because that is how you're going to stand in these last days. Believe me. So, with that, I haven't forgotten that we are to surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading. This is what we're doing again. We're surrendering over as he uses us and leads us to discern, to test these things. So let's look at these areas. How we are to surrender then to the Holy Spirit. Well, we've always been taught that it is that absence of resistance. But we're also very aware that one can say that, but to live it, and in reality, is quite another thing. And you know, years back, We used to hear, didn't we? We used to preach, you know, well, give it 6 months and you've got it. You know, we were naive. 6 months, we've got it. And so is, we couldn't quite see properly that it took Moses 40 years. Took Abraham years. Took all the patriarchs years walking with God. And you know something that the Lord revealed to me? That the Lord has brought back longevity if the Lord delays. Why has he brought that back? Why is he renewing our youth like the eagles? Because it takes years to walk with God and to be trained by the Holy Spirit. And that's why they live as long as they did. Because that's how long it was taking God to work. Now we're in the time of restoration. And that is why I'm a believer, whatever age we are, from young, middle-aged to elderly, our youth is being renewed as the eagles. It is longevity. Why? Because it takes years for the Holy Spirit to be doing this work, to bring us to that place of the absence of resistance. And that is ultimately what it is. So I'm very aware that one can say that as a term, but to apply it and live it is another thing. But what we're ultimately doing is we're being taught by God that when the Holy Spirit requires anything of us, we don't resist. And that is why you're being delivered. I think we didn't always quite understand that there were still doors open in our lives, still demonic oppressions, and any demonic oppression will always oppose the Holy Spirit when he asks you to surrender to his will. That's your fight. That's what's going on. That is the flesh that's rebelling against the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Satan, demons, use flesh, don't they? And that is why we're to take our crosses up daily and we're to follow him. Because we die, you're supposed to be corpses. You're dead. And therefore you can say and do and insult anyone who's dead, because they can't answer back. Then this surrendering to the Holy Spirit's way, I'm going to open this up a bit more as we just bring in a few of these things up at first, is commitment, discipleship. God can't do anything with you if you're not committed and you're not a disciple. If you're not committed, then you can't really learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit. You can't be taught to yield over if you're not committed. Now, commitment, of course, is a word that people don't like to use today. Yet we're finding even government, politicians, psychologists, are starting to bring this word commitment back, aren't they? And of course, this is a word that's used in marriage or between two people. Couples that cohabit together. Commitment is needed. Why is commitment essential? Because commitment means that you can build. You can plan. It creates stability. And of course, that is the environment for family life and for children to be brought up in. Children fare much better when they're brought up in a family where a family is committed. There is commitment. Instability simply repercuss in the behavioural problems that we have today, which are rife. And the government are very, very concerned about young people and their behaviour. Far more than you're even hearing on the news. We hear it, you know, wanting to bring back family life, wanting to bring back marriage, and going to give tax allowances to those that remain in marriage and so forth. They're all patch-up jobs. But what is it telling us? It's speaking of a bigger problem that they are aware of. That is the point. So So let's take that over to the spiritual. Let's take this over to the house of God. Let's take this over to this church. This church can only survive and be blessed and go on if we're committed to it. Else it can't stand. It can't go on. It has no future. So that again takes the work of the Holy Spirit to help us to yield to that commitment. My loyalty to my brother, to my sister, to the body, but above all to the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes grace. It takes this, that yielding over. And you know, at times our lives can be hectic and we think, oh gosh, we've got meetings. Got to go to a meeting and everything. I've had a nice, terrible week. You know, I just like to have a day in or just have a rest or lie in, please. You know, well, what do you do at that point? You just yield over, say, Lord, you know that's what my flesh is saying, but I want to yield over to the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to say that and pray that and ask for God to do that, he does it. And not only does he do that, but he strengthens you. He helps you for that day. And yes, you go to the meeting and you think, praise God, it was so important I was here today because I needed that message. See? So that is what our commitment discipleship is about. It is also waiting on our ministry. Waiting on God. Our whole life, our walk is waiting on God. Now, this waiting is not a waiting where you are inactive. You're just sitting down, lying about. It's not what I mean. It's a waiting where you're waiting to be used. That's what waiting on God means. I'm waiting on him, waiting to be used when he wants me. That's what waiting on God means. So that attitude and spirit is essential for the house of God. Why? Because that means that everything then we're doing is anointed of God. It's not flesh. It's not good ideas. It's not, let's have a go and see if it works. We've all done that, and we've all fallen flat on our faces, and nothing comes from it. No, this waiting on God is waiting because it's about the anointing. But it doesn't mean that you're just simply sitting back doing nothing. You're still very active. Hallelujah. You see, we've got to remember that if God requires us to walk by his leading and to yield to the Spirit, remember, God will always provide. Whatever God requires of you, he will always go ahead and provide for that what he requires of you. Now, the enemy will always try to get you to look at it in the flesh. Well, how is this going to be done? How can God do this? Impossible. But remember that everything that God requires of you, through your waiting on him, he will always provide in that situation. And that provision means that God will bring it to you. Or he will give you an insight. Or he will begin to teach you. He will begin to open your eyes, your ears, your heart to his provision. Even in our walk of faith, even when we step out in faith, and it's just faith, believing in the promises of God, just believing that God loves me, he will not let me fall flat on my face. Even to start to move by faith is God's provision on your behalf. The very fact that he stirs you up to start to apply your faith is God's provision in your life to start to do that. Now, some of you are beginning to look to God in areas of faith, or you're waiting on God in faith, or you're about to take that step of faith, whatever it would be. God's provided for you in that. He's giving the quickening of the Spirit. He's moving on your behalf so that you can now begin to act your faith. It's still God's provision. And that's how I look at an active faith. When I make decisions, and I've had to make a decision recently with regard to our house, a big decision because it's a lot of money. But the very fact that I was being stirred towards it, the very fact God brought the right workers along to do this big work, this task in our house, I knew that was God providing, coming out of waiting on God. That was Him leading me. That was the anointing, the revelation, the teaching, the understanding, you see. Yes, the carnal mind's trying to work. Yes, the enemy's there speaking into your mind. Well, no, that's not of God or whatever it is. But as you are looking to Him, as you wait upon Him, you begin to see it unravel, unfolding. There's the provision of God. There's the wisdom of God. There's the revelation taking place. And very often, it's between you and God. It's no good you sharing it with anybody else, because the other person you're trying to share and try and find out, do you think this is of God, you know? Do you think this is faith, whatever it is? They don't see it. It hasn't been revealed to them. It has been revealed to you at that point. And we've got to learn that, because God's teaching you, not via through somebody else. That's what shepherdship does. That's how you're growing up. It's the hardest way, but that's how you grow up. Yes, you may come to me. I can pray. I pray that God reveals to you that it's right. That you'll know, you'll get the revelation, you'll get the understanding. At the end of the day, I can't tell you. Why? Because it's not revealed to me. You have the anointing. You have the unction. And through the Holy Spirit, He is going to teach and show you. And that is what relationship is all about, you see. And we have to remember that this provision, God leading us, this all comes through the baptism of the Spirit and our willingness to offer that self on the altar. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Is that willingness to surrender self, your whole being, on the altar of God. And as I've said before, and I will say it again, when you surrender all, Romans 12, 1 and 2, what else can you do? You can't do any more than that. God knows. You've ultimately done what God requires and wants of you. And He says, because of that, I will now bless. I will reveal and show My faithfulness and promise to you. I'm convinced that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is actually our covenant to God. That's what I call it. It is my covenant. It is what I want to make. That covenant that God has already revealed to me. He's shown that He's going to make that covenant with me. Now I'm going to make that covenant with Him. And it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. You see? And when you've done that, God will legally provide and work on your behalf to take over. And He expects full control. And He is even gentle how He takes that control. He never controls you and forces that control, but it is as you yield, as you are willing, under covenant, He then says, I will take that full control. What do we mean by this control? Well, I've already been giving this out, but He will choose, this is ultimately what it means, when He takes this control. This is my understanding of the Holy Spirit leading, taking control. He will choose the kind of life we live, and the cross will deal with that self. In other words, death. When we surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading, He is going to choose what kind, what type of life you are going to live in this earth that glorifies him. And the yielding comes as we humble ourselves before him. So do you want to yield over to the Lord? Are you having problems with yielding? That absence of resistance? Oh yes, Pastor, you can say it, you can talk about it, but living it, wow. Praise God. Well, if that's what you're thinking, you're learning what it is to yield. Because you're seeing how impossible it is. The key to yielding is to humble before God. That's its key. It's one thing saying it, but to yield over to God is to bow the knee in God's presence. It's the attitude of what you want. Now, we all may be saying, amen, yes, brother, you're saying the right thing. But the key to this is saying, yes, Lord, that is it. I want to humble. I want that knee always bowed in your presence. But I know you're still exposing things in my life in order for that to be achieved. See, that's how we have to look at it. And they are the trials and the tests that God works in and through us. So you see, the Holy Spirit isn't going to ask you what you think about this. He's not going to come to you and say, now, I want you to die in this area. I'd like your thoughts about this. What do you think about this area that you've got to die to? Well, I can tell you exactly what you're going to think. I don't think much of it. You're not going to exactly jump up and down with glee and joy and everything. No, the Holy Spirit comes as Lord in your life. So he's not going to ask your opinion, providing it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. He's not going to ask you what you think. You will always take the Spirit's side. And that's the key to this. If you are to live like John the Baptist in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey, then that's how you live. And he's not going to ask your opinion. Whatever life God has for you, whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, whatever you find yourself in, that is what God at this season requires of you and me. And it's no good belly aching. There's no griping and moaning. I would say that most of us are in a situation that we don't actually like being in. If we're to be honest. And some of you are laughing away there because you know exactly what I'm saying. And you would never choose it in a million years. But he's not asked your opinion. He's not asked you what you think about it. He has come to put you to death. He's come to take over. Why? Because this taking over is about the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and sin. You must be anointed for these last days. The overcoming ministry, the greater works will only come out of the anointing. And that has come when you have yielded to the Holy Spirit as he has taken over and does exactly what he wants to do through you. The Holy Spirit came and took over in Jesus' life, and he did exactly what he wanted to do in him, was to put him to the cross. That was the Holy Spirit's mind for Jesus. And so if it's a John the Baptist ministry, who are you to argue? If it's a Jonah ministry, who are you to go running off somewhere else? If it's a Moses ministry, who are you to try and continue to stay in the courts of Pharaoh? Because he's going to draw you out into the wilderness with a bunch of sheep. Who are we? They were the lifestyles that God had chosen for those people. And You look at those lifestyles. You haven't exactly got people queuing up to live like them, have you? No way. I mean, some of those prophets, their ministries in the natural were as appalling. What God required of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. And they had to identify with rebellious Israel. Did they argue? No. They simply yielded over to the Holy Spirit's ministry. And the great prophet Elijah, he tried to do it his own way, ran away from Jezebel. Where are you going, Elijah? Where are you going? It's that woman. You wimp, you. Running away with the anointing and the empowerment I've given you. Come back. That's not the life I've chosen for you. See, when we move out of the life that God has chosen for us, you become unhappy, unfruitful, you lose your peace, you don't hear from God like you used to, your prayer life suffers, everything. I've seen saints. We've got some saints who should be here now, here this morning, at the moment are not. They've gone off and done their own thing. They're out of the will of God. And I know that they are unfruitful and will remain to that until they surrender to God's will for their lives. It comes back to the cross. What's been the problem? It's the problem that I've often bring up. They never settled it at Gethsemane. That's the problem. You have to settle it. And the fact that we're here, coming week after week, you saw that Gethsemane was needful. You have seen that you can't go on in this walk if you're divided. You've got to settle that death. You've got to settle the cross just like Jesus did. And then when you get up, Jesus says, my grace now is sufficient for you. My grace will keep you in it. My grace will keep you going. There's God's provision. God knows what Gethsemane is about. He knows the great decision. It's the decision of your life. It's between you deciding between life and death, eternity or hell. He knows that. Has he not provided? Of course he has. And when you settle it, you get up. He says, now I'll provide for that to sustain you and keep you faithful to that. And that is, my grace will be sufficient in this life for you. We need to learn that. It's not exactly a revelation. We start jumping about and think, oh, praise God, his grace is sufficient for me. I don't even hear Paul doing that. Paul sought God 3 times. And he didn't get up on the 3rd time and had a glory fit. No way. But he understood. Something within that just thought, Lord, God's wisdom is communicated. Something in that is going to sustain and keep me in this, what otherwise would be, impossible walk. And so whatever you're going through, your trials, your tests, are they lying, gossiping about you, ill-treating you, whatever it is, praise God. That is the way you are to walk. Because that is where the anointing lies. And God will say, my grace is sufficient, and it's only going to be for a season. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. If he requires of you to spend time with him or consecrate a season of praying, he's not going to ask what you think about it. He's going to ask you to yield over to it so that he does it through you. Extra ministry. Sometimes you're required to minister just more. Go that extra mile. Is he going to ask you what you think about that? No. You surrender to it. May have to forego your summer holiday. Be looking forward to all the year. Because something else has come up. What are you going to do? You surrender. Lord, okay, I'm not going on holiday this year anyway, but you will be faithful. A number of things, all the things that we meet each day, what we plan, scheme and so forth, God may just come in and say, I require of you to give that up, or I require of you not yet, not the time. He's going to do this. He's not going to ask us what we think. We simply yield over to the Holy Spirit. Why am I stressing this now as I close of this? Because we must surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading for the anointing for this last days and for these greater works, if we're to see them. This is the key to it, friends. He's not asked your opinion. He's not interested what you think. Who hath known the mind of God? Who hath known his ways? His ways are past finding out. But you'll only know as you surrender and yield. And as you allow him to take over, then you begin to realize and you begin to see in our small way God's leading, his guidance, his ways, his directions. And there's nothing like it, because he's providing, the grace is there, the blessing is there, and you're seeing God blessing others as well through you. So it's a wonderful thing what we're talking about. This is the greatest thing. And I'm aware of what I've spoken about can either fill the church or empty it. I'm aware of that. But this is the key to it, friends. This is the key. In your flesh, you will hate it. But in the Spirit, and as you humble yourself, and as you let the Holy Spirit work and take over your life in everything, that is where the anointing is going to be for the last days and for the church. Amen. Thank you, Father, this morning. Thank you that we do need to be reminded of these things. Some of these things we've heard over and over again. But that is how you teach us. But Lord, we are also aware that we apply what we hear, else it just falls on deaf ears. And to apply what we hear, you've even provided for that. And you help us through the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we're without excuse. We can't go wrong. It may hurt sometimes in the flesh. Pride is being dealt with. But Lord, we are crucified with Christ. We are dead to the self-life. And that is the key to all of this. And Lord, you are showing us where the greater works are going to come. The anointing. Sonship. The bride of Christ is coming out of vessels that are totally yielded over to the Holy Spirit's will. And Lord, you don't even ask us what we think or whether it's a good idea. You simply, as Lord in our lives, require of us what you will. And by doing that, you have even provided. You will give us the strength. You will give us the ability. You will give us the finances. You will give us the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding. Everything flows from the throne of grace. So Lord, we can't go wrong in this. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so Lord, we praise you for this. Thank you, Father, for this meeting this morning. Thank you for being with us, here ministering to us. Thank you that we have again experienced and witnessed the anointing, the Holy Spirit. We are richly blessed here, Father, but we are aware that much is going to be required of us and this church for the last days. Help us not to let you down, but to glorify your name. And so, Lord, be with us through this week. Cause us to shine in this light of darkness, that your grace will be sufficient for each one of us. Guard our tongues, our eye gate, our ears, our senses. Keep us from the evil one, from temptations. And ever help us to look to Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. For we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Spirit, move in my life. Jesus is all I desire. Move in my life to be like Jesus is all I desire.
God, the time you'll finish, He's going to bring us to a place where we are utterly, totally, completely useless without the Holy Spirit's guidance every moment in our lives, His strength. He's bringing us totally to the end of ourselves. That's the work. That's what He's doing. And may He do it.